There is a form of comedy entertainment in which a groan is as acceptable as a knee-slapping laugh. It's the pun, a play on words that can range from very clever to cringeworthy. But the genre is packing them in New York City for monthly Punderdome shows where contestants vie for the best puns. Now the Punderdome is coming to St. Louis this Saturday at Blueberry Hill. Joining me in studio is St. Louis and Fred Firestone. He and his daughter Jo, a New York comedian, funded and produce Punderdome. Fred, great to have you with us.
It's a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
You like the groan line?
You know, we don't believe in the it happens, but we look to go beyond the groan. That's our objective. So, but a lot of groans out there.
Oh, I'm sure there are. They're a lot of fun. There's no question. Some are very clever, and some are just god awful. No question.
That's for sure.
And you're exposed to both at Punderdome, correct?
You know, I think that we are. We've done 75 shows up in New York, and we have a lot of the same people returning, and they are multi-time champions. So the kind of those that are grown-esque kind of weed themselves out. But we do have a lot of it. We are not without grown.
I'm sure it all takes care of itself. What do you think of the definition that a pun is the lowest form of humor?
I entirely disagree with that. I think commonly held wisdom, you know, you see that and you think it's associated, as you say, with the groan. And I think our objective and what we've seen is that it is really it can be a knee slapper if done right, I think, in the right context. So it's been fun.
How did this whole Punderdome thing get started in New York?
Well, my daughter's a comedian in New York, and she booked a basement of a club in New York back in May of 2011. With a month ago, she had no idea what she was going to do. That's how she is. So a week ago, had no idea what she was going to do. A friend of hers said, you know, there's a national pun competition, the O. Henry Pun Off in Austin, Texas every year. You ought to do a pun competition. She said, oh, that's great. Didn't do anything. And with 3 days to go, she calls me and she says, Dad, how would you do it? Well, as a 20-something asking your dad how you would do something, that is that's nirvana, first of all. And I do business seminars with game shows I do. And I said, well, this is what you might consider doing. And we talked for a while. And she said, would you come up in 3 days and do it with me?
Well, you have a background in show business yourself.
Broadly defined, yeah. Broadly defined, yes.
And that expertise certainly paid off for her. If you've done 75 of these shows, one a month, is that the way it's structured?
Yeah, one a month, yeah.
Now I'm going to stop talking about puns for a moment because I've seen some video of you, and your thing is Rodney Dangerfield. Now, let's treat our audience to a little bit of...
Okay, I'll tell you what, buddy, you know. I tell you, my wife, you know, she can't cook. We say grace after we eat, you know. Last week... She made chocolate mousse. I got an antler stuck in my throat, I'll tell you what, you know. But we use that, the Rodney Dangerfield, the play between my daughter and myself. I'll throw some lines out that are a little off about her mother, and she'll roll her eyes and say, don't talk that way about my mother. You know, like Joe's mother, you know, she likes to make love in the backseat of the car, you know. She likes me to drive, you know. Anyway, her roll her eyes. So that allows for a interaction that's part truth and part not. I don't know where the line stops and starts, though.
But you do get respect for doing Rodney Dangerfield on stage.
Somewhat. Yeah. Somewhat, yeah.
And what specifically is your role? Are you the kind of like the MC, or do you share MC duties?
We share MCs. Yeah. We developed the program from the beginning and looked how we built in all components of it. So we look to engage the audience. Very important. We look to... Our philosophy is someone just doesn't attend the dome. We call it the dome. They do the dome. And we look at our kind of our touch points along our cycle of service. How do we push the engagement envelope so people really feel a sense of connection?
Who are these people?
Mostly millennials, I would say. We have some people that might even be old, 50s occasionally come.
That's old?
Compete. Well,
Fred, give me a break.
I know. I'm 65, so there you go.
Yeah. And they all come in prepared to compete, or are they people selected beforehand?
Does that work? It's interesting how they come in and they sign up at the door. We have 18 people sign up, but a lot of people have been regular competitors, and we track how many times they've won. So we have one guy that's won 23 times, somebody 13 times, some 10 times. And there's a sense of, I guess, pride in that. And we bring people that bring – when we bring these people up, we will borrow from the World Wrestling and say 10-time Punderdome champion, Punder and Lightning, or Pund Express, or Homestar Punter. They all have pun names. But
I gather from what I've seen some videos on YouTube, that they don't come necessarily prepared with a specific pun. They got to make them up on the fly.
Yeah, they can. We give them a topic. Yeah. We bring up a heat of six at a time and give them a topic. And the topic might be breakfast food. And they have 90 seconds then to work their whiteboards privately. What are they going to say when they have their two-minute opportunity to regale the crowd with puns? So 90-second prep and then 2 minutes to in front of the audience.
How do they normally work this? Do they come up with the punchline, if you will, first and then work their way backwards?
It's a great question. Well, they start, we'll give them a topic. And so what they'll do, most people do it this way, they'll populate the whiteboard with everything that could be a component of that topic. So they'll list all breakfast foods. And once they've listed those breakfast foods, then we'll look for opportunities for puns. And those are different meanings of a word, a joke on a different meaning of the word. So then they'll look to, then in their 2 minute, they'll look to use that different meaning in the form of a story.
Can you give me an example?
I can. Let's say this is one of my favorites. A guy did this. He said that the topic was women's rights. And so he had 90 seconds. He was working on it feverishly. And then he gets up and he says, you know, he says, a buddy of mine and I, we recently took a hiking trip, the inception of the Colorado River. It's very shallow there. The question we had, it was Roe versus Wade. I mean, it was just perfect. Brought down the house. No groans there.
No groans.
It was just, but his setup was perfect. I've got a couple others, too, that I've heard over the years. And just to be able to start with a story, and people don't know when it's going to come, but it does.
I want to hear those others, but you keep talking about they, but these are individuals working individually. It's not teams, or is it?
Well, sometimes it can be a team of two. That's right. Individuals are a team of two.
All righty. Well, let's have some more examples because they're fun.
Well, you know, one of my favorites is, let's say the topic was nursing and medicine. And somebody would get up and say, well, you know, I don't know if you realize this, the woman that had really the head of modern day nursing, Florence Nightingale, is not well known, but she had a pretty fair reputation for dating around quite a bit. Everybody wanted to go with the flow. You know, again, two meanings, Florence and the flow. So it was,
and that's really at the basis of a successful pun. Really, where you can kind of have a couple of different interpretations.
Yeah, I think that's it. A couple different interpretations of the same word, and then also the setup. We find that if you just got up there and said, "Well, here's a pun," it wouldn't regale the crowd.
Yeah, the part of the show aspect of it, I know, is the way that you determine the winners.
Yes,
and it's audience applause, but there's more to it than that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I was inspired actually by a television show when I was in my preteen years, and that was Queen for a Day. Huh. Now, Queen for a Day was an intriguing show. People would get up and they would tell the host why their plight in life was worse than the other two people. And then the audience would decide with a clap-o-meter, the applause-o-meter. And I thought, I couldn't have articulated it then, but I thought, what a wonderful way to engage the audience. They own it because they ultimately determine the outcome. Mm-hmm. So that really is, now we have the human clap-o-meter. And we get up and we say, you know, how many people have been to a traditional pun competition where there's a PhD in linguistics or comparative etymology who says what they think? And we say, we don't do it that way. We, the people, decide. Mm-hmm. And so we calibrate the clap-o-meter blindfolded, of course, to avoid any appearance of impropriety. And they're calibrated, and then they determine who goes on to the next round.
Describe the clap-o-meter because it is quite a contraption.
Well, this is why I have to applaud my daughter. I have used a clap-o-meter for years in my seminars, and she had it built. And it's kind of a contraption that the individual that we harness on the person, and they can maneuver the arrow from rotten tomatoes all the way through to ponderful. And they're going to get blindfolded, and then that's just a prop. Their ability to discern the level of audience applause, how long and how loud, ultimately determines how legitimate they are as a clap-o-meter.
It's not really very scientific.
I would disagree with that. I think it isn't scientific, but I think we build in safeguards. So I think people – and it is competitive. People would say, you know, it was fair.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously what you want. By the way, we'll get a picture of that after we're off the air here and put it on our website so folks can see exactly what we're talking about. The Clap-O-Meter will be with you on Saturday night in the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill.
Clap-O-Meter will be. I still have to recruit the Clap-O-Meter. You know, we don't want to to avoid any appearance of impropriety. We don't want to recruit in advance. So,
do you take someone from the audience?
Yes, I have very limited skills, but one of my abilities is to, if I can look at somebody, I can say you would be a good human clap-o-meter. So that's what I do.
Is your daughter coming in for this?
She won't be able to come for this show.
So it's just going to be
just me.
Fred. Yeah, you're looking forward to that, I'm sure.
The whole journey has been fun from the standpoint of, we get people that come back, and that's sort of legitimating. And then the opportunity as a father to work creatively with his adult daughter is very rewarding. Mm.
As far as the people who are going to be there on Saturday night, do they have to make reservations? Can people stop by? Are any of them potentially eligible to get into the contest?
Well, we've sold out. So,
great.
Yeah, it's been nice. But, yeah, we have pre-signed up 12 people from the improv community. So we've kind of vetted them, and so we know they are really going to be able. And then we have 6 slots people will be able to sign up at the door.
What kind of a crowd would you expect? I mean, you've sold 200, out.
200.
Yeah. And in New York, you do better than that.
Yeah. It's been we're up about 500 consistently. Yeah. So,
well, how did these folks find out that this was happening here? I mean, we just heard about it a couple of days ago. I mean, if you've got 200 tickets sold already and the improv community ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, how they found out about it in New York or here?
Here.
We just kind of put the word out on our Facebook page. And then we were fortunate. We were able to find some improv people that spread the word. So, I really don't know how they got that. I'll be able to tell you more Sunday.
Yeah, right. Tell us a little bit about Jo, your daughter. She's a comedian, as you've indicated. Mm-hmm. What kind of a career does she have going?
Well, she's been we're very proud of her. She went to New York about 7 years ago and started. She has a unique approach. She starts these shows. She had she has something called the Inner Beauty Contest, and where she under the comedy guise evaluates with the audience beauty. She has a program called a dating program where it's kind of a play on the old newlywed game. Dating game. So, and then now she's a writer now with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. She has arrived.
She's swinging away, and so far so good. So we're very proud of her.
It's a tough business.
I think it is.
Especially in the Big Apple, where there are so many young people wanting to be successful.
I think so. And I think it's you're only as good as your last sketch.
How did Dad feel about her going off to New York to try to become successful?
Well, I think it's exciting. We want her to pursue her passion. We told our kids that, find something you really love to do and pursue it. And everything else will hopefully take care of itself. So she did that. And, she's had enough success where she feels validated by it. So it's been good.
Do you have any other kids with showbiz instincts?
We have a son, lives in Chicago, and not a showbiz guy, but he's a good boy.
You also have a card game, as I understand it, a Punderdome card game. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Well, that came out last year, and it's very different than the game itself. You pick out 2 cards, 2 prompts, and then you look to form a pun uniting the 2 prompts. And the best, according to the individual that is the sponsor of the game, he or she will decide who came up with the best pun.
Mm-hmm. So, can you give me an example of how that works?
Not offhand. The prompts might be baking and going to the zoo. So you would have to come up with a pun that united both of them. It's a challenge.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Because it takes a particular kind of mind, I think, to be able to work this stuff together.
It really does. Neither my daughter nor myself have that kind of mind.
I saw an interview in which she said that, and I won't quote her exactly, but she would basically neither one of you are very good at this at all.
No, what was the motivator for us was that she had the space and she said, how would you do a pun competition? I said, I don't know how I do a pun competition, but a competition, this is what you might consider. So,
Do you have a final pun that you can leave us with?
You know, one of the – we always start with this, you know, because we do this thing at the – we have a warm-up round at the very beginning, and we throw a pun out, and people can complete it. They earn a payday. That is a payday candy bar that we lob gently in their direction. We always start with, if you see your buddy named Jack on an airplane, you don't want to yell out what? Hi, Jack.
No. Got it. All right. Got to end it there. Fred Firestone, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Don.
Great
thank
to
you.
Hear that you're sold out at Blueberry Hill on Saturday night. And best of success as you continue on in the
thank
New
you.
York show.
Thank you.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.